الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من جعل الهموم هما واحدا هم آخرته كفاه الله هم دنياه صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected علماء الكرام, elders, brothers and youngsters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored each and every one of us in various ways with different bounties and favors. And for each of these bounties, the dictate is that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in response, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase His favors and bounties upon us. The greatest favor and bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with is this wealth of iman, this kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Because this kalima alone, believing in it, living and dying with it, this alone will decide whether a person will be happy and successful forever, or Allah forbid, if a person is deprived of it, then forever that person will be in doom and destruction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in this world. And our life in this world is the life that is in front of us. The world around us is the world that we can see. But time and again, throughout the Quran, we are reminded that the life of this world is not the only life that this human being has to experience. Rather, the life of this world is simply to prepare for our eternal life, our real life, our life that we will live forever. By means of an example, it's the first day of school, and those that are returning to school have just returned from the holidays. But there's a certain group of children that are coming to school for the first time. Previously what we would refer to the grade zero class. Today the grade R or RR. So this group of children, they don't know what school is all about. So they are a little scared. They are told where to sit and where to go and who to meet. The siren or the buzzer goes and all the children go to the different classrooms. This group of children is ushered to a certain classroom. There's a person that is standing that is waiting to receive them. So they sit in different places and this person says, it is now 8 a.m. From now, you cannot talk. You cannot fidget or fiddle. You cannot play. You cannot laugh. The entire class is in silence. Some of them start to cry. They are dreading. Why did our parents even bring us to this place? They said this was a good place, a nice place, a place that will be beneficial to us. Then the teacher continues, and you will have to remain like this until 9 o'clock. From 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. for 1 hour. From 9 o'clock till home time, that is for the rest of the day, you can play. Tomorrow when you come to school, the entire day you can play. For the rest of the week, you can play. For the rest of the month, you can play. For the rest of the term, you can play. For the rest of the year, you can play. So are you ready to be quiet and silent and listen to me for 1 hour? So the whole class agrees. It's only 1 hour. And for the rest of the year, we can play. But this one boy, his mother told him that morning, I have some work to do. On the way to my work, there's a certain place where there's other children. I'm going to drop you off there, and I'll pick you up at 9 o'clock. So that boy, he's now thinking, I'm only going to be here from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock. And for that entire time, I can't play, I can't fiddle, I can't fidget, I can't talk to anyone. So he puts his hand up, and he says, I'm sorry, I don't think it's fair. So the teacher's surprised, and so are the rest of the class. What do you mean it's not fair? So he says, I think we should be allowed to play from now. So now the class starts to make a bit of a din. They're not sure what's going on. The teacher is trying to quieten the class down. In the meantime, that boy whispers to the boy next to him, just think about it. Why should we work at all? Does your mother stop you from playing at home? Shouldn't you be allowed to do what you want to do? Doesn't your mother allow you to do what you want to do? We should rather play from now. So that boy thinks about it. He also puts his hand up. Ma'am, I agree with him. I think we should be allowed to play from now. And then they both whisper to the boys on either side of them. Now a few more hands start popping up. And eventually there's only a few boys that are willing to keep their hands down and say, it's only 1 hour of work and we are allowed to play for the rest of the year. The rest of the class is screaming, we want to play from now. We demand to play from now. Don't be unfair. How did it all start? One boy understood, I'm only going to be in school in this class until 9 o'clock. Beyond 9 o'clock, there's nothing for me to look forward to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in this world. And in this world, there are two types of people. There are those people who know about the akhirat, who believe in the life hereafter, and who keep the life hereafter in front of them. So for them, the work in this world is minimal. And then there's another group of people that don't know about the life hereafter, that don't know about the akhirat, that only have this life to look forward to. When this group of people starts to talk, and when their voices get loud, then the other group, the first group, the more sensible group, starts to question and starts to doubt. Should we really have to follow all these rules, all these laws? But it's only 1 hour. And really, what is the life of this world when compared to the life of akhirat? A person lives in this world for 40 years, for 50 years, for 60 years, for 70 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا إِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. One day in the akhirat, one day is 1,000 years long. The entire life of this world, of 50 years, of 60 years, when compared to 1,000 years, is a mere 5%. What is 5% of one day? 1 hour. Just over 1 hour. So for 1 hour of work, you are allowed to play for the rest of that day, for the rest of the next day, for the rest of the week, for the rest of the term, for the rest of the year, for 1 hour of work. Allah is allowing us for one lifetime of effort to enjoy 1,000 years. That is one day of akhirah. And the next 1,000 years. And the next 1,000 years. And the next 1,000 years. Until infinity. Which is something our brains, our mind cannot comprehend. Forever and ever. Joy, peace, bliss, serenity, comfort, tranquility. Every sort of happiness that you can imagine. لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. Whatever you desire. Ma, as they explain in Arabic, is closest translation in English, whatever. Everything. مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. Whatever you desire, you will have it. For that life of effort that you put in this world. So when the question is posed, when the question is asked, that can't you enjoy your life? Can't you live your life as you want it? Then every one of us has made a choice. To explain the choice that we have made, by way of another example, Now with the holidays, the school holidays drawing to a close, many of those that are senior, that have children, may have been busy during the week. So this is the last weekend. So it's a Sunday afternoon. Again, an example that may apply to us. So for that reason it is being used, not to promote anything. But it's a Sunday afternoon. Father decides to take his family out. So the children jump into the car and they start taking a drive. And they leave Asheville or Overport, wherever they are staying, and they drive towards the beachfront. Then the father says, "Who wants ice cream?" And the children all put their hands up eagerly. "Yes, we all want ice cream." So the father parks off and they decide to buy ice cream. So the father tells them, "You can choose whatever flavor you want." So someone chooses chocolate, and someone decides, "I want strawberry," and someone wants bubblegum, and someone wants lime, and all the different flavors. But the flavor that each person chooses doesn't affect the next person, nor does it harm him. This is one type of choice that you get in this world. We'll call this preferential choice, your preference. You can decide, and there are no serious consequences. So the children buy their ice cream. They climb back into the car. They go for a drive. They finish the ice cream. Now they are returning. And as they come near to a very busy intersection, the father is about to drive through the intersection and he sees the robot turning red. The father now has a choice. The father has a choice. He can either stop as that robot is signaling him to do, or he can drive through that intersection. And on the side of that intersection, about to cross the road, is a blind man standing with his guide dog, is a mother with a pram and a baby in that pram. There are a few children either side of her, ready to spring across the road. Is another elderly couple helping each other to cross that road. So the father has a choice, but this choice is quite different. He can choose to drive through that red robot, and there will be drastic consequences. Or he can choose to stop. This choice is referred to as an ethical choice. So the father decides to stop. He has done what is right, what is correct, that benefits him and benefits others as well. When a person decides to follow a religion, and Allah has blessed us with the religion of Islam, then a person has taken it upon himself that whatever I'm going to do in this world, I do have a choice, but that choice is an ethical choice. I can dress how I want, like how that father can shoot the red robot. I can go where I want, just like how that father can go through that red robot. I can say what I want, like how that father can go through that red robot. This is the choice that a person has when a person accepts a religion. The difference is, for sitting at that red robot for those few seconds or few minutes, the father is not really going to gain anything, except that he has done the correct thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us making the correct choice, for doing what Allah wants, saying what Allah wants, dressing in the manner Allah wants, living in the manner Allah wants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to give us whatever we want, forever and ever and ever. Someone may change the scenario a little. They say, but the reason there's an issue is because there are people waiting to cross the road. What if it's not a Sunday afternoon? What if it's a normal weekday and it's midnight? Now that robot turns red. Now the father's at the intersection. Does he still have to stop? Now if he goes through, there's no issue. There's no problem. But as he goes through, on a Tuesday midnight, he goes through the red robot. He suddenly hears a siren and sees a blue light flashing behind him. And he's being pulled over. "Sir, you shot the red robot." "But there was nobody there. There was no one waiting." "Sir, it is the law of the country. When there is a red robot, you have to stop." So even if it does not affect others, if nobody is being harmed, still, The lawmaker is the one who decides what the law is. This entire world belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah decides what the laws are. Whether it harms others or not is secondary. The primary reason we follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so that we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is benefit for me or benefit for others, that is secondary. The primary goal is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said, it is not going to go in vain. But every time a person pleases Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to give him something in return. So what does Allah really want from us in this life, in this world? Every promise of Allah, whether it is to beautify our worldly life, whether it is to the individual, whether to the collective, whether it is for our life of the hereafter, every promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is linked with two key aspects. For a person's individual life, a person desiring a happy life in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells each and every one of us, every male and every female, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. For every male and every female who brings iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thereafter does al-amalu saliha, good deeds, this person will have a pure life, a wholesome life in this world. Iman and al-amalu saliha. To the collective ummah that wants to reign supreme in the world, Allah's promise, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah's promise to all those that bring iman and do good deeds, أَعْمَالُ صَالِحَةِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you vicegerency. Allah will give you governorship throughout the world. That is for a person's worldly life. For the life of akhirat, for the life that is forever. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. That every person who has iman, every person that does good deeds, these are the people that will enter Jannah. And for the person aspiring to reach the highest stages of Jannah, Allah make us amongst them. Then today being the day of Friday, towards the end of Surah Kaf, we all will recite, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُولًا. For those people who perfect their iman, who perfect their amal salihah, for these people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the highest of gardens, the jannat of firdaus. This is what Allah will give them as a welcome gift. The word nuzul is something that you prepare to welcome your guest. So these are now the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will welcome them with jannatul firdaus. So our life in this world, in this temporary life in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us here to prepare for our akhirat. Why is it that we find this difficult, or that our preparation isn't up to standard? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, a very close companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when explaining to those who would visit him, he says, Allah has mentioned in the Quran, فَلْتُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Allah is speaking to this human being that you have preferred the life of this world, whereas the life of the hereafter is far better, is longer lasting. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu explains, the reason this is the case is because the life of this world and the things of this world are things that you can see around you. And the life of the akhirat you cannot see. So it is far away. As the saying goes, out of sight, out of mind. That which you cannot see, you don't think about. Because I cannot see it, I don't ponder over it. So how does a person remedy the situation? On a daily basis, there has to be a reminder about akhirat. There has to be a reminder that our real home is Jannat. Our real reason in this world is to build our Jannat, to build our akhirat, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way we will build our akhirat, the way we will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is through all the a'mal shown to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'mal, good actions, are divided generally into two broad categories. A'mal that requires physical strength for a person's body to be used. Like a person performing salah, like a person reading the Quran, like a person fasting in the month of Ramadan, or fasting at any time of the year, like a person engaging in dhikr, a person's body is required and not much else. And there are other amal where a person's wealth is also required to be spent. Sadaqah, zakat, for a person to go for hajj. Through these amal, a person now is preparing for his akhirat. So on a daily basis, there has to be an encouragement to do both these types of amal. So we sit with the ulama, or we go up to the ulama and we request them, that what books can we read that will encourage us to engage in these amal, that will encourage us to engage in these amal, which will build our akhirat, which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that forever Allah will keep us pleased. That will encourage us to be punctual in our salah, to always be engaged in the dhikr of Allah, to make a habit, a daily routine of reading the Quran, so that fasting becomes something alluring to us. Spending our wealth for the sake of Allah becomes easy for us. That hajj that seems so distant, now is something I want to do. And through this encouragement on a daily basis, a person is now encouraging himself to invest in his own akhirat. The investments of this world do reap rewards. They do have benefit. But all that benefit is short-lived. When a person leaves this world, all that he prepared, all that he stored up is left behind. And the only thing that actually comes with him is that iman that he made an effort on, and all the amal that he gathered. So on a daily basis, there has to be this encouragement. Like that, for a person's attention to turn towards akhirat, the life of this world, the dunya that we see around us, a person has to come out of that dunya. A person that is drowning in the middle of the ocean, there's water that is now entering his body, and his time is running out. The water that has entered his body needs to be removed. But the lifeguard that goes in doesn't take out the water in the middle of the ocean from his body. He takes him out of the ocean first, onto dry land. He takes him out of that environment that he's drowning in, into another environment, a safer environment. And then he expels the water that has gathered in his body. So this dunya that we have attached ourselves to, every now and again, with the guidance of the ulama, a person has to leave that dunya, to change his environment, into an environment where he's hearing about akhirat, where he's speaking about akhirat, where he's speaking about Allah, where he's speaking about the different ways to please Allah. In a nutshell, the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that environment, a person will be able to take out the dunya that has gathered in our hearts. So this effort that takes place, the effort on iman and amal, the two requisites of every promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how does this effort start? By way of a final example, and on this we'll terminate. Every one of us has seen a bicycle and understands how a bicycle works. The mechanics behind a bicycle is very simple. Whether it's a cheap bicycle or an expensive bicycle, every bicycle has two pedals. For that bicycle to move, those two pedals have to be tramped. And as a person tramps those pedals, the chain now starts to move. And the chain causes the back wheel of the bicycle to turn and the back wheel to move. Once the back wheel moves, automatically it propels the front wheel to move. Now the bicycle is gaining momentum, and the bicycle now needs to be directed as to which way to go, which way to turn, where to slow down. For that there's two handlebars, and a person uses these two handlebars to direct the bicycle. And attached to those handlebars is a brake, which a person will use to slow down, to maneuver, to ensure that he doesn't crash into any obstacle. And every bicycle, no matter how simple it is, how fancy it is, every bicycle has a seat. And a person sits on that seat so we can use that bicycle, so we can reach his destination. Whether that bicycle is cheap or fancy or very expensive, whether it's meant for different purposes, the seat is more or less the same size. Because the purpose of the seat is just to hold that person, hold the weight of that person, and convey him to his destination. Every one of us is on a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to tramp two things, nafs and shaitan. These are the two pedals of the bicycle. When nafs and shaitan are tramped, then now the chain of mujahada, of sacrifice has started. A person is now making sacrifice to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not doing what his nafs wants him to do. He is not doing what shaitan is telling him to do. But he is sacrificing, making mujahada. The chain is now moving. When mujahada is made, when the chain moves, it causes the back wheel to move. When mujahada is made, a person's iman becomes stronger and stronger. When the back wheel moves, automatically it propels the front wheel. When iman in a person is strengthened, automatically a'mal comes into his life. The front wheel is a'mal. Now a person is gaining momentum. He's doing more and more a'mal to please Allah, to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quicker. But that a'mal needs to be guided. So there are two handlebars to guide a person. The handlebars of Qur'an and Sunnah. That now a person, every amal, every action is guided by Qur'an and Sunnah. And attached to those handlebars from the Qur'an and Sunnah will be the hudud, the limits, the laws of Allah, where a person needs to slow down, where a person needs to break. And no matter how big or small that bicycle is, how cheap or expensive it is, every bicycle has a seat. The purpose of that seat is just to convey that person to his destination. That seat that we all have is that dunya. We need it to convey us to our destination. But when that bicycle slows down, or when a person reaches a hill, then he needs to tramp those pedals harder, and he needs to stand up out of his seat. So in this journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at certain times we will be flying, we will be moving at a very high speed, and at other times we may find it difficult, where it goes slow. Now that nafs and shaitan have to be tramped harder, and that dunya we have to leave. With the guidance of the ulama, we have to change our environment, to come into an environment where we are speaking about Allah, hearing about Allah, speaking about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hearing about the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about akhirat, about jannat, and turning our attention towards akhirat, towards jannat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah alladhi lam yazal aliman qadira, hayyan qayyuman sami'an basira. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nukabbiruhu takbira. ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسل إلى الناس كافة بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فيا أيها الناس اسمعوا وعوا وإذا وعيتم فانتفعوا كل من عاش مات ومن مات فات وكل ما هو آت آت مطر ونبات أحياء وأموات قال الله سبحانه وتعالى كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور وقال تعالى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من جعل الهموم هما واحدا هم آخرته كفاه الله هم دنياه بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم والنبي الكريم ونفعنا بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد القهار العزيز الغفار مقدر الأقدار مكور الليل على النهار تبصرة لأولي القلوب والأبصار نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له مالك كل دار ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله سيد الأبرار صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الأخيار. أما بعد، فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن من أفضل أيامكم يوم الجمعة، فأكثروا علي من الصلاة فيه، فإن صلاتكم معروضة علي. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم رب المشرقين والمغربين، صل وسلم على سيد الكونين والثقلين محمد بن الذبيحين، وعلى الشيخين الفضيلين أبي بكر وعمر، وعلى الختانين الكريمين عثمان ذي النورين وعلي أبي الحسنين، وعلى العمين الشريفين حمزة والعباس، وعلى السبطين الجميلين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين، وعلى سائر الأصحاب رضي الله تعالى عنهم في الدارين. روي أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: الله الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذهم غرضا من بعدي، من أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، ومن آذاهم فقد آذاني، ومن آذاني فقد آذى الله، ومن آذى الله يوشك ويأخذه. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه كل خير، واجعلنا منهم. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.